Good afternoon. Today is Monday because Merle's here.
Yes.
January the 7th, seventh day of the new year. Current Eureka Police. Could you grab, bring it over? You're not going to hurt yourself.
There okay.
You All right.
I'm set.
Joining us this afternoon is current Eureka Police Chief Merle Arpham. Good afternoon.
Hi.
So, how much longer are you going to stay in that throne?
I don't know. When they throw me out or I can't get up and crawl into work.
Oh, okay. Might be the same time, huh?
Yeah.
This afternoon we're talking about the holidays, what the bad guys were up to and what the good guys were doing to help save the day. Well, at least we'll do the public version of that when we come back.
Yeah. Okay.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Arpham. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Will Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime between 1879 and 1935, said, quote, "I never expected to see the day when girls would get sunburned in the places they do today."
Yeah.
So how was the holidays?
What do you think? Was it a good?
It was a good year. It was pretty peaceful actually, for holidays and over the New Year's including.
So how come?
Lucky, I guess.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of calls, but they were nothing. We didn't have a lot of major incidences.
What is the biggest fear EPD will have, or any municipal police department would have? For Christmas, from the Christmas through the New Year's.
Earthquake right in the middle of Christmas dinner. Or right at midnight when all the guns are going off anyhow.
Okay. And you know, the sad thing is you had it right there. It was like you knew this one.
Yeah. No, going back, I can remember, we've had some very traumatic events around Christmas time in this county. We had major floods like 2 years in a row, the 100-year flood, and then the next year we had another one. And then we had the big earthquake that just before Christmas shook everybody's Christmas tree over. So it puts more work on the fire than it does us, but we still have to handle all those calls.
Well, that's okay. That's a good thing then that you guys are buddies.
Yes.
The consolidation that the fire departments have gone through.
Right.
You've seen the battles and the wars since the 50s on that topic. Were you surprised that it finally
happened?
That it came to be, yeah.
Well, not totally. I mean, I knew eventually you talk about something long enough, it's going to happen, particularly when the arguments are a need for it.
But with, as well as anybody, the personalities that are in play, the power brokers involved in both of them, nobody likes, it seems to go counter to human nature to give up power.
Yeah.
And influence. And everybody had to give up a little to make this thing happen.
Right. And they did. And I think the city, the guys at the city were very quick to jump on this opportunity.
Is there a lesson there for police?
Well, yes. I mean, going back to the days of Ray Shipley, he advocated a countywide police force. Like there are some states are like that. Like Pennsylvania has a lot of countywide police departments. And he even said, I'll step down and be like a commander. Let someone else be the chief.
Get me back on the street.
Yeah. And it didn't get much traction at all because, And, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful to any other agencies, but or areas, I should say. Agencies wouldn't be
the— It was 30 years ago, Merle.
I know, but you take a— the people in Ferndale don't want to have somebody that lives in Eureka coming down to enforce the laws in their city because, you know, they enforce them differently than we would in Eureka. And everybody knows one another down there. So, I mean, you know, there was that issue that was brought up that, you know, the different agencies all work differently. You know, we work differently than Arcata PD, much differently than Ferndale. Fortuna, the friendly city, they're you know, they have a system that they are happy with.
I would think it's probably a little different with fire just because the fire guys aren't doing the same type of service.
Right.
You know, and they aren't relying on neighbors, on who they can trust, who they can't trust. They show up, somebody's
right.
in trouble, they help them out.
Exactly.
If there's fire, they put it out. Thank you very much. We'll go back to the fire station now.
Right. And, you know, and you know, I always say everybody loves a fireman.
Except in New York. Wasn't that weird? When they shot the fireman?
Oh, yeah.
Responding?
Well, yeah. That was a— well, that was a nut, you know.
Yeah. I think by definition.
Yeah. Yeah. By my definition.
Yeah. Now, there was an attempt 20 years ago? 25 years ago about consolidated dispatch. And
right.
that seemed to really rankle some people, too.
Yes, it did. And I was involved in that. And I, you know, I attended the meetings on it. And I thought it looked promising. The county hired someone from down south, gave them a big salary to come up and or put this thing together. And, you know, I really don't know what the roadblocks ended up being, but I know it was just people not wanting to relinquish power, I guess is the best way to say it.
Do you think something—
we were ready to.
Yeah, that's what my understanding was, but that there were a couple of forces that were not inclined.
And that's coming up again.
That's what I was wondering, mayor, if the timing
mayor,
now.
Yeah, our mayor right now has that as one of the visioning things in that the city's working on.
And Frank went through that the first time, too,
yeah,
didn't he?
Right.
You got to make sure both of you guys are around when this comes around so that at least there's a historian
right.
as part of the process.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Nowadays it's cold outside, especially if you can't afford warm winter coats for your children. That's where Coats for the Cold comes in. This homegrown organization collects donated coats, cleans them, and distributes them to needy people. It began in 2008 when Robert Lone saw sharply reduced coat prices in a store, bought a batch, and donated them to the Eureka Rescue Mission. Beginning late in January, Coats for the Cold will give out over 1,000 coats in the county, now including southern communities. To donate a coat, new or lightly used, there are 50 Humboldt locations where you can drop it off this month. Find them on this website, coatsforthecold.org. That's coatsforthecold.org. Volunteers from Teen Challenge and other organizations will give out the coats to children. Your warm heart can keep them warm this winter. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. You were talking football. Okay, who are you picking for tonight?
Well, you know, I'm pulling for Notre Dame, but I think
good.
Alabama might have.
Yeah, I like the Tide Rolls thing.
Yeah,
but it's time. It's time for the Irish to bring one home.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Really? What, yeah. Lou Holtz?
Yeah, probably.
That was the last one. That's been forever. When you start talking to some of the troops on the force now, and now you got a new city manager, so
right.
talking with him also, how much does history transfer to today's reality? You go back. Let's go back 40 years, 30 years.
Okay.
We were talking about the dispatch.
Right.
Okay, there's a little history there, but most of the players have moved on now, so it's kind of fresh opportunity. How much does history play into the conversations and into the decisions that are made, let's say, beyond five years ago?
Yeah.
So we're outside those trends that you look at.
Hadn't thought a lot about that. I don't know tradition is the way I would put it. More
okay,
than it's a history, tradition. There's some things that that are traditional that was good then, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, that are as good now.
When you look at assignments for officers,
mm-hmm.
obviously you're looking at the current statistics as far as the deployment and whatnot. But when you think of some of the challenges that were there in the past.
That aren't here now?
Yeah.
Or new ones that are here now that wasn't there?
Yeah, do you look at that kind of stuff and start going? I was talking to somebody about gang shootings. Yes. What was the last gang shooting we had around here? Bayshore Mall is going to be the one that everybody remembers.
Yeah.
A drive-by.
We've had very few. We've had some in the past year. One or two is all. Very few. You know, we have a good gang unit, countywide gang unit, that kind of stays on top of them. And they do these sweeps and let them know that the reason we're doing these sweeps is because of the increase that we're seeing of graffiti or the drive-by shooting that has occurred here last week or whatever. And so I think that kind of makes the gangbangers sort of realize that, you know, they gotta tone down their activities.
When you say a sweep, what does that entail?
Well, we get a bunch of officers together, team them up, and they go out and do probation checks on the gang members that they know are on probation. And they go through their stuff to see if they're continuing to do things that they're not supposed to do in their affiliation with the gang, such as, you know, photographs with, you know, giving gang signs to each other and, you know, just things like that that indicate they're still involved in gang activity.
Things that might not be harmful versus having the drugs and having the guns and the knives and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we look for those also. I mean,
well, I would imagine you wouldn't trip over those looking for pictures.
No. No, those are the first things we look for is the drugs and weapons.
Out of violation of probation, is that kind of also what you're looking at as well?
Yeah. If they've got those things, they're in violation of probation. Because most of them have a probation clause that says they're not to do this, or that.
So if they do, or you guys find indications that they have been, what happens then?
Well, in some cases they're taken into custody right then. In other cases, they're referred to probation. And we have probation officers with the gang unit that go out with us.
So in that scenario, considering some of the monkey business that you've alluded to in the jail, not in the jail, but that the state has done in the realignment, are those infractions enough to keep them inside the facility, or is this another cite and release?
It's pretty much a release. They're held and maybe given new probation rules. And then they're back out again,
So it really isn't a behavior-altering situation at this point. Unless there's something really overt going on.
Right.
So when these are, and I presume they're coordinated, do you try to go after one gang at a time or one neighborhood
or one city?
Or do you start with the letter A and work your way through the alphabet? I mean, how do you determine the folks that you're going after?
We create a list of the people that are on probation for gang things, and we then assign officers to go to those particular locations.
So you can cross-reference by infraction, I guess, even if it's not a real infraction, or by probation.
By probation,
I guess, would be
right.
The word I should have used. Has that proven to be fruitful?
Yes, it has. I think what it's done, also, it puts them on notice that they've got to quit bringing attention to themselves by the things they're doing so that we're not doing these sweeps.
But isn't they the inverse of what a gang wants to do? Don't they want to bring attention to themselves?
Well, not to law enforcement.
Point taken on the nuances. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. You know, I knew that veteran moniker on your uniform counted for something. I think I just found out what it was. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpin.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Merle Harpin, still the police chief in Eureka. At least maybe till the end of the show, huh? Yeah. Keep throwing the mics open here and right, sneak up on you. Who knows what will happen?
Yeah.
We could have our little mini news story here.
Sure. I'm used to that.
Yeah. Merle, these shootings that are going on all over the place, it's got to be disturbing for anybody in law enforcement to hear about, to see what's going on. Do you have a sense? I mean, there were people that were off balance 100 years ago and 1,000 years ago. Why do you see that we are having this reaction? You know, and guns have been around for a long time too, so it's not the gun argument thing. No. What do you see? What do you feel with the folks you deal with that might have that inclination? What's going on?
Well, you know, my personal feeling is that it started in the 60s when we glamorized drugs. You know, they made movies, Cheech and Chong smoking big marijuana cigarettes and Dr. Leary telling everybody to try LSD and those type of things. And I think it started screwing up, changing the body, the genes or the
DNA.
Yeah. And we've created more people with mental issues. Because, you know, it was a very rare thing to deal with. When I came out in the 50s, it was a very rare thing to deal with someone that was seeing things, you know. It happened, but it wasn't like it is now. Now it's a regular thing. I mean, a day doesn't go by that we're not dealing with somebody walking down the street screaming at tourists or screaming at somebody, hollering things like, get off my planet.
It used to be share at the cop, right?
What's that?
It used to be yell at the cop. That was no big deal.
Right. Yeah. But, and now we are now dealing with the kids of those people that were doing all that experimentation back in the 60s. The 60s were, you know, the 50s were great times to be a cop or be alive. You know, the TV was all about, you know, good things, you know. The Happy Days, I can't remember all the shows, but Andy Griffith. Yeah,
Andy
right?
And Opie,
Well, yeah. Even like the Rifleman, you know, he always had a message
for
his son. Yeah, he always had a message for his son that taught principles and morals and things like that. And now we come to glamorize death. You know, I can remember going to movies and seeing Gene Autry shoot somebody, but you never saw blood. You didn't see where they were shot. They'd just fall off their horse. But now they show all this gory stuff, and
so
now you can play games at it.
You were one of the guys that was there for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre this weekend, right?
Yeah. No.
Making it the number one for the weekend.
Right, I know.
I can't figure that one out myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've come to glamorize this stuff, and death has become, we've desensitized our citizens to death because the kids go in and play all these games where you're killing things, people. They got somewhere they're killing cops. And so, you know, it's, I think that's a big part of it. Plus, a lot of the people that are doing these things were placed in homes years ago.
Supervision.
Right. And they're you don't have those facilities anymore to speak of. Not like we did, you know.
So
Ronald Reagan, bless his heart, he kind of closed them all up.
Yeah, that was perhaps something can be revisited. It seems to me that there's, you're talking about the individuals. I'm looking at the numbers and just going, there's just a ton more.
Yes.
I don't get out of the building as much as I used to. But I did get a chance last week and was driving back into Eureka. I think I may have shared this last week. Around 2 o'clock. That's not normally for me, and I don't normally go the whole way. But I decided, okay, drive Broadway and 5th Street all the way to Myrtle Avenue and come back to the shop. I was stunned at what I saw. I mean, I just flat out stunned and obviously disappointed, too.
Right.
Has normal changed that significantly?
Oh, absolutely. This is all our officers, for the most part, are dealing with on a daily basis.
So how do you train your guys then to deal with today instead of to deal with yesterday?
Well, are you talking about these shooting things?
Shootings, drugs, the wandering yellers, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we make contact with them. We have someone on staff that's a retired mental health person. She worked with them for 27 years. And she goes out with our officers, and she knows all the ins and outs of how to deal with these people and what's available to them, whether it's, veteran services or placement homes and things like that. And so she's been a great resource for us. So that's one. And they've cleaned up a lot of they've taken people off the street and have got them in homes now where they're functioning. Before, they were wandering around not functioning. So it's
more, almost like being off your meds?
Yes. Yeah.
Not just...
In fact, that's a very common term you hear now. Oh, he's off his meds. Or she's off her meds.
Well, you would think that there would be an opportunity with some of those advances in medicine to put like a slow drip or a time release something or another.
Yeah.
And that was a condition for them, was that they would just have to go in and get...
I don't know, but that's a good idea. I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, I'm sure the ACLU would be jumping up and down really excited about that one, too.
Yeah.
But it seemed, public guardians used to have public guardians. Right. Now, I guess, maybe with funding priorities different, things have changed too much. I don't know. But it is a normal for you guys to be working with these folks.
Oh, yes. Every day. I mean, a day doesn't go by when we don't have responding to these type of situations. And sometimes we don't know what's causing it. Like, we kind of suspect that maybe this new drug bath salts is causing, because we've got a lot of cases about it. We had about 5 instances where people would strip their clothes off, because I guess you feel hot even though it might be cold out, where they strip their clothes off naked and they're running around. We had one guy turning somersaults down at Broadway and I want to say 14th Street, turning backward somersaults, without any clothes on. They were on the other side of the street. He ran across Broadway naked. Funny he didn't get hit by a car on Broadway. I mean, that's a pretty busy street.
Oh, yeah.
And but we had a whole series of those. And it was kind of weird. I mean, things come in threes. That's an old cop saying. If you get armed robbery, you're probably going to get 2 more. But this was 5.
You're just overachieving, buddy.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Earl Harpin.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. Merle, some of these shootings and these things that have been taking place, whether they're in our area or in other areas, whether it's gang-related or non-gang-related, how have procedures changed in the last 3-4 years? I mean, even just recently.
Actually, it hasn't changed a whole lot since Columbine. And Columbine was the major change. That's when it occurred. And at Columbine, the people that were the security officers were on duty at the time, they were given orders not to do anything if something like that happens, which was stupid. Why happened?
Control rather than...
Yeah. And then the SWAT team, they had to sit outside and wait for a SWAT team to show up. In the meantime, people are getting shot. So we've gone to what we call active shooter. And we're training on this all the time. And we don't train just a SWAT team. It's everybody gets the training. And now our direction is, if we were to have a shooting at the school now, the first two officers on the scene go in and try to stop it right then, not wait for the experts with the high-powered rifles and machine guns.
End the situation as quick as possible.
Pardon? And right, stop. Put an end. Turn the attention of the suspect onto the officers, you know. Make them concerned that, hey, you know, these are the ones that are going to kill me. And so that's happened in a couple of instances. They had one shooting in Utah where it was an off-duty officer, and the first officer on the team teamed up together and ended up, taking the guy out. But it was an off-duty officer from another area that happened to be in there, and he teamed up with, identified himself and teamed up with the first officer, and they went after the guy and put him out of business. Probably saved some lives. And so that's the mode now, rather than sit back and let the SWAT team handle it.
So how do you train to that?
We go out and do simulations like that. Get a building, put somebody in with a weapon, and we say, well, I mean, you know, it's not...
Nerf gun?
Yeah. No, no, it's unloaded weapons.
Okay.
Like you said. Yeah. And we send people in after them.
To try to normalize it?
Yeah, to try and stop it. You know, it's not...
Well, I mean, normalize it for the responding officers, right, so that if it ever does happen,
yeah,
they're able to focus.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's kind of funny because we've reverted back to the way we used to do it, you know, 50 years ago. You know, we'd have a man with a gun situation. The first two officers on the scene went in and took care of it. And then we got in this mode after the Texas Tower thing where the guy got up in the tower and was killing all those people. Everybody developed SWAT teams to deal with something like that. Well, they found out after Columbine the better way was to send the first two guys that are got a weapon in after them.
Well, hopefully this will stay theoretical for the remainder of this century. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Merle.
Okay.
We've been talking shop with Merle Harpham. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.